The public beach at the end of Jefferson Avenue on Nantucket looks pretty much the same as the rest of the beaches along the island's calm north shore. But there's one big difference, one you can't see. Buried beneath the sand are two cables capable of carrying up to 74 megawatts of electricity. They stretch nearly 30 miles beneath Nantucket Sound to substations on Cape Cod and deliver all the island's electricity. Think of them as Nantucket's extension cords to the mainland. But in the not-too-distant past, Nantucket generated its own electricity at a downtown power plant along the waterfront. Dave Fredericks is the former manager of that power plant, which he says was powered by six massive diesel generators.
So it was loud, it was noisy. Most of these units were built in the 60s, so they were already 25 and 30 years old, and they required enormous amounts of maintenance, enormous amounts of oil.
The two undersea cables that replace the generators are part of a complex system of infrastructure and transportation that keeps the island powered up. Above the water, a fleet of barges, ferries, tanker trucks crisscross the Sound to deliver Nantucket's liquid fuels and gas. It's a system that's primed for change thanks to transportation improvements, the evolving nature of Nantucket's waterfront, and the island's surging demand for electricity. As it stands today, just one of the undersea cables generally has more than enough capacity to handle all of Nantucket's electricity demand. But not always. The island's peak load, the point during the summer when electricity use is at its highest, has continued to grow.
July of 2013, Nantucket's peak load hit an all-time high, which was 45 megawatts, and it was up 12.5% from the year before.
That's Lauren Sinatra, the town of Nantucket's energy coordinator.
That definitely caught National Grid's attention, 12.5% in 1 year.
That kind of demand recently led National Grid to start talking about the possibility of a third cable to the island, something both residents and National Grid hope to avoid. George Aronson, the town's senior energy advisor, says without a third cable, the island could be at risk during times of peak demand.
But if one of the cables goes down, last summer, Nantucket actually saw a 45 megawatt peak, and that's obviously greater than the capacity of either of the cables. And if that combination happens, you lose a cable at exactly the hot point of the summer where your peak is greater than the capacity of the cable, there's a short-term problem, and that's the problem that needs to be addressed.
For its part, National Grid is working to avoid, or at least delay, a third undersea cable. National Grid's Tim Rowan says it can be done with what he called the non-wires alternative.
Instead of the electric company putting up bigger wire, we rely on resources behind the customer meter to manage their load.
The non-wires alternative includes initiatives like increasing participation in energy efficiency and incentive programs, time-varying rate structures, even a voluntary program in which customers would allow National Grid to control their thermostat and air conditioning units. And then there's renewable energy, an option with huge potential, but one Aronson says has proven to be a minefield on Nantucket.
Nantucket, as a historic district, is very proud of its look and the feel that it's managed to preserve the old buildings, the cobblestones. And there are many people on the island who just feel that a large wind turbine vertically on the skyline would be a disturbance to that feel. And that will always be an issue of contention on Nantucket.
Meanwhile, on the waterfront, that's the sound of 50,000 gallons of fuel oil being pumped from a barge in Nantucket Harbor into the downtown fuel tank farm. These days, the island receives about 200,000 gallons of fuel oil and diesel fuel by barge every month. And it's all stored in an aging tank farm on the edge of Nantucket's historic downtown. It's a situation that poses all kinds of issues and concerns, from safety and aesthetics to the danger of transporting so much fuel through the harbor, where a major spill could threaten one of the last remaining wild scallop fisheries on the East Coast. John Stackpole is the president of Harbor Fuel Oil Corporation, and he says the farm has been controversial for years.
So it's become like an airport where people have moved around it and they've suddenly decided that probably it shouldn't be there. And you know, it's controversial and people feel it's not safe, which is not true. It's a very safe facility. There have never been really problems there. And the reason it was put there originally was because everything was waterborne as far as transportation.
Town officials have been talking about moving the tank farm out of the downtown area for almost 30 years. Only recently does there appear to be real movement toward that goal, and there are several reasons why. Gasoline is now delivered by tanker trucks on the Steamship Authority boats rather than by barge, so there's less need for bulk storage. Plus, the steamship now runs Nantucket's vessels from Hyannis rather than New Bedford and has increased the frequency of its freight boats. Nat Lowell is the chairman of the Nantucket Planning and Economic Development Commission, and he said all these factors have changed the equation for fuel delivery to Nantucket.
We're not far away anymore. In the old days, we used to be, you know, theoretically 200 miles away from our fuel source in New York. Now we're 26 with three trips a day.
Whether the tank farm eventually moves or if a third undersea cable someday snakes its way to Nantucket, the island's distance from the mainland isn't going to change. And that means keeping the island powered up will likely remain a complicated and expensive puzzle. For WCAI, I'm Jason Grazia Day on Nantucket.